For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. You've heard it said before that a certainty in life is that life comes to an end. As universal as this truth is, death is an unpleasant thought which brings us tremendous sadness. But have you considered how you will be remembered once you leave this earth? The Old Testament leader Joshua was aware of his impending departure from earth, and he had some important challenges for the nation of Israel. Today's message from Pastor Holland takes us to the book of Joshua, chapter 23. There we look at the last days of Joshua in a message entitled, Final Orders.
Joshua is an interesting character that we find in the Bible, one that took over after Moses, led the children of Israel. Now we come to the book of Joshua, chapter 23. We find now that Joshua has become an old man just as Moses did. In the first verse of chapter 23, the Bible said it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and was stricken in age. I think it sums up the entire message of what we're going to preach today to help us understand that the children of Israel had accomplished and God had given them the land. They were free from the enemies that surrounded them. But the problem that arises now is Joshua is old. He's preparing to die. According to verse number 14, we find that he steps off the scene. Before he steps off the scene, before he leaves and goes on, he has something to say. I think today, if I knew that it was my last day to stand here and preach, I know there's some special things that I'd want to say to you as members of Victory Baptist Church. I do not have the opportunity to know that, and I guess it's a good thing that I don't know that. But again, we find Joshua understanding, even as I do, and realize that every day and every year I get a little bit older. Joshua realized that he soon would pass off the scene. He realized that the people needed to carry on what he was doing and to continue to follow God and be strengthened by God. By this time, many of the children of Israel had died off. If you'll remember, because of their unbelief, they had wandered in the wilderness for some 40 years. And that generation that had wandered in the wilderness had now begun to die off. And so literally they were gone off the scene. And there was a new and younger generation that was arising. It's somewhat like it is today as we look around about us. And I'm not against change in any way, but I believe I am against change when it conflicts with the Word of God and the things of God and doing what is right. Now, he knows that the old guard is not exactly like the old guard is not exactly like the new guard was. Moses and Joshua stood in their place faithfully, giving out the Word of God, but as others die off, he just wants to remind them of the importance of serving God. And I guess today, if we could just in a sense, if you could listen to me, I want to encourage you with the same words, because I believe the thoughts that we have contained here, I pray that they'll speak to our heart and allow us to understand the importance of serving God. And so we come to verse number 1 of chapter 23. We find Joshua as he gives us some of his concerns. The first thing we notice is the concerns that Joshua has in Joshua chapter 23. I begin reading verse number 1. And it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all the enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and was stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and all the elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God, it is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all nations that I have cut off even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. And in verse number 8, he sums it up, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. The first thing we notice that he was concerned about, he feared their complacency. In fact, I'll be honest with you today, I fear our complacency. I believe it's so easy for us to get in a rut and get to the point in our lives to where, you know, going to church just seems to be kind of humdrum. We go because we know we need to go, and we know because we go because we're supposed to go, but literally it's almost become a chore to go to the house of God. I think today when we get up in the morning, we ought to look forward to being able to come and go to the house of the Lord. The Bible said in verse 6 that we just read, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep all, to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." I believe today that one of the biggest sins in the church today is apathy and complacency. Apathy to the point that we really are not concerned about what the reason is as to why we're at church. Friend, I tell you today, we ought to come today with a method and a motive of seeing God work, God speak to hearts, lives being changed, and people being saved by the grace of God. I think in Revelation chapter number 3, he spoke of the church at Laodicea. And he said literally he wished that they were either warm or they were either cold or hot, but yet they were lukewarm in what they do. Friend, I want you to know today, I don't want us to be cold. I don't want us to be lukewarm. I want us to be hot. I want us to be on fire for God. I want us to have the mind of Christ. I want us to come because we hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God, that we come in order that we might hear what God has for us in this day in which we live. But it's unfortunate that we've come to the place that many today in the modern churches, they've gotten away from preaching the old-fashioned gospel. Friend, I tell you today, I only have one message, and that one message is Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and those that repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior can be washed in the blood of the Lamb and receive eternal life forever and forever. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we find it's important that he encourages them, don't get complacent. Listen, they were in a good place. The Bible said in verse 1 that they had come to a long time after the Lord had given to them rest. I tell you today, rest is needful and rest is good. But don't rest too long on your laurels, because you'll come complacent and have apathy about serving God and doing what he would have you to do. The second thing that Joshua was concerned about is he did not want them to compromise. He feared their compromise. In verse number 7, look, he said that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of their name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves to them. He was concerned about us being drawn away from the truth that we've stood on for years and the Bible that God has given to us to understand what God would have us to do. I tell you today, I don't know, I read the other day, I can't remember how many it was, but there is hundreds of gods. But friend, there's only one God that can save your soul. There's only one heaven where you can spend eternity. And friend, except you repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior, you will die in your sin and spend eternity in hell separated from God. And yet today he said, be careful, beware that you don't get caught up with these other people. Listen, there's people that'll beat on your door and they'll come by and they'll begin to tell you things that they believe and what they want you to believe. And you say, well, they seem like nice people. If you'll read the Bible, not only in this place, but in other places, it tells us that we're to have no part with those type of people. Friend, if anybody comes talking to me about any other God, friend, I have one God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one, and literally, we don't need to compromise. And he said to them, don't you get to the point where you start looking at the other gods. Don't you even mention their name. And he said, furthermore, not only mention their name, but don't swear by them. And literally, I could almost hear him in his voice saying, God forbid that you would even serve them. But yet there's many today that have fallen by the wayside because they were looking for something new. Can I remind you, the Bible is not new, but the Bible is true. And everything in it is true. And the Bible said, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is counted profitable. I think today we need to be careful that we abstain from the appearance of all evil by following after God and doing what he would have us to do. Thirdly, we find that he feared their commitment. He fears their commitment. Look at verse number 8. He said, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. Now, it's not that Joshua fears that they will be committed to the Lord. It kind of sounds that way with the point. But what it's saying, he fears that they will not cleave to the Lord. I believe there's two other problem areas, and there's a word for the church here. Notice the Lord Jesus' idea of commitment. Now, this is what the Bible says. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. What he's talking about is total commitment. Friend, today, understand salvation, going to heaven, is not a commitment. People said, well, I made a commitment, I'm going to heaven. No, if you're going to heaven, it's because you made a decision and you personally repented of your sins and accepted Christ into your heart and was saved. And by the way, that's very easily done if you're willing to be saved. But a commitment is, once you're saved, is committing yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, committing yourself to serving Him and being faithful to Him. So first of all, we see Joshua's concerns that are given to us today in understanding what he was trying to tell them. As we move down to verse number 9, we find Joshua's challenge. Now in this section, he challenges all the elders and the people to observe the truths concerning God. He challenges them to look back at what God had done for them in their life. And by the way, God's been good to all of us, but man, God really was good to the nation of Israel in doing what He did for them. And so if they were just to consider the Lord, they were to live the right kind of lives and do what was necessary. The first thing we notice is a challenge from the wrath of God. Friend, I today don't have time to elaborate on it, but I can tell you what. You better understand when you become a child of God, you need to serve God and be faithful to God. And if you don't, listen, people have the idea, and us Baptists, we get accused of it all the time. Oh, salvation, once saved, always saved. You know, no matter what you do, you're still saved. Well, friend, I tell you, if you're saved, I believe it'll matter to you what you do. But what we need to understand today, as we serve God and as we're faithful to God, if we're disobedient to God, then we will experience the wrath of God by the nature of chastisement that will come upon our lives. In Revelation 2, verse 1 through 7, the church at Ephesus had many commendable traits, but they lacked one thing. It was a deep, abiding love for Jesus. Second of all, there was a challenge, not only about the wrath of God. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. Be sure your sins will find you out. As a child of God, you will stand responsible for what you do when you know that it's wrong and against the Word of God. So he warned them, and he's still warning them today. Then he was a challenge about the works of God. He said, guys, I want to tell you what God did. I'm not going through it again for sake of time this morning, but I tell you, all of us know the story about the crossing of the Red Sea and the miracle that was performed there that day. It was not that they went over on dry ground. It was not that they built a bridge. It was that God rolled the waters of the Red Sea back, and they went through on dry ground. And when they did, he caused the darkness and the waves to come down on them and destroyed them. And friend, if God had not been for them, they would have been destroyed.
What legacy are you building to leave generations after you? Are you pointing them to a life of holiness and purity? We will continue this message on this broadcast next week as we conclude our study in Joshua chapter 23. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening. And join us again next week at this same time.